This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
The most recent Powerball jackpot has had people across the country buzzing. We know the chances of winning are slim, but what are your exact odds? We're asking a math professor.
As it gets bigger, one of the big reasons that you, one, see a winner and can see the prize split is because more people are playing.
This is WBTV's Good Question.
We are joined now by Tim Chartier, a professor at Davidson College. Tim, thank you for being here.
You bet.
First things first, tell me a little bit about your career at Davidson, how long you've been there, and what you teach.
Sure. I've been at Davidson 20 years, so I've taught quite a few students, and I'm in applied mathematics, where my area of concentration is computer science. The main thing that I do now is sports analytics. So I look at odds and probabilities and things like that, where we help the Davidson coaches and also work with professional teams.
Wow. Do you get to work with Steph Curry at all?
No, we started right after Steph left, but it made it a lot easier to get students into the program.
I'm sure. Well, as you know, we wanted to talk about the lottery today because Powerball is just setting records. You kind of look at the odds and study the odds of winning the Powerball. In general, how hard is it to actually come away with all that money?
In many ways, it seems like it can't be that hard because you just have to pick five numbers and then one number. But it turns out that actually a topic that we usually learn in middle or high school actually applies to it. And when you work that out, it's one in 292 million, which can be a little hard to get a handle on because that just sounds like a lot. But the way to test it is to actually flip a coin 28 times. And if you can get 28 straight heads in a row, that's similar. It's actually more likely to do that than to win Powerball just by bit.
Gosh, that's incredible to think about. And it just shows, I guess, how slim the chances are that someone will actually win. But I think everybody gets caught up in the hype, right?
Yeah, and it may not be probable, but it is possible. And they've carefully designed it so that these do get big. They changed the rules in 2015 so that it's less likely so that we actually get these huge jackpots. But at the same time, it's possible enough that when enough people are playing, that's why you see somebody win $1 billion, which is quite exciting.
When you buy more tickets, does that actually increase your chances of winning? It has to, right?
Yes, exactly. It really does. The reason that I think sometimes people wonder if it does is because it's still very improbable. So if you buy two tickets, you actually, in a sense, double your odds, or you're twice as likely to win, which can sound exciting. But you have, again, if you think of it as flipping a coin, it's like, I didn't flip 28 straight heads, so, well, I'll try again. And that's like buying another ticket. So it does increase the odds, but at the same time, you're still pretty unlikely.
I was about to say, the number of people who play, correct me if I'm wrong, that doesn't change the chances that you'll win, correct?
No, all it changes is the chances that you're the sole winner. That's all it impacts.
That's very interesting, because the more people that buy, that's just more people who have random data sets of numbers, but you could still have the same data set as one or even two or three other people.
Yes,
who bought tickets,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Now, as the competition continues and we continue to see, no winner round by round, does that change anything with regards to your odds of winning?
No, the rules of the game stay the same. So when you play earlier, you still have the same odds as when you play later. The biggest difference, again, is the fact that more people are playing. So you want to be, it actually is best just to let the random numbers pick the numbers, because we as people aren't very good at picking random things. We're less random than we sometimes think. So we'll lean on a favorite number or a birthday or someone else's birthday. And you're not going to have completely random numbers there. So it doesn't change the odds of winning, but it does change the odds of not having to share it.
That's so interesting. Okay, so you would recommend that people not pick their own numbers and just go with the computer generated?
Yes, the odds are the same. And again, the odds are higher that you won't have to share the jackpot unless you just don't mind doing that and you really want to pick your own numbers.
Are you okay? So would that be because a lot of people you might think have the same sentimental numbers that they're picking, and that's why you increase the odds that you're?
Yes, that's exactly true. Is that favorite numbers tend to fall in a certain range or certain numbers that we tend to think of, kind of like in a hotel where you don't have a 13th floor. It's kind of similar. If you're on the 14th floor, you still kind of are on the 13th floor.
I know you mentioned a rule change a few years back or several years ago. Is that part of the reason why we're not getting a winner in this particular round?
Yes, it's part of the reason. It's less probable, which means the game will go longer until we see a winner, but they are careful. One big thing I do is March Madness, and we've never had a perfect bracket on any online tournament. And that's because it's way less probable there. So if Powerball was made that improbable, it really wouldn't even be fun, because just nobody would be winning year after year. I mean, which is, you know, you could win $1 trillion, but you, after a while, people might not actually play.
Yeah, that's an interesting point too. If you can explain how the jackpot kind of increases incrementally like that, what is feeding into that, and how do they determine what the jackpot's going to be when somebody doesn't win?
I think that the jackpot has to do with the earnings that, or the number of tickets in the last round. I think it's part of the reason we don't know exactly what the jackpot will be. So they will announce the jackpot, and it comes into the entire jackpot doesn't go into the winnings. It also is dispersed to a state. And then even where you buy the ticket actually gets part of those earnings as well.
That's interesting. When the jackpot is high, what should we take into consideration when we're making that decision whether or not to play?
To me, the main thing is, will it be fun? Is that the chances are you're not going to win, but you can have a lot of fun. So a lot of my friends know that I am interviewed on this and I talk about it, and they'll ask me, and I'm like, hey, if it's going to be fun, it's not that expensive to play. At the same time, for instance, my wife knows how improbable it is for me, so we usually don't play. In fact, we haven't played, but that isn't actually that I would advise that you don't. I think part of it is we just live with the numbers all the time.
I think for a lot of us, and this is interesting, that even $1 million would be a life-changing amount of money, but so many more people play when you start hearing the super high figures like 500 million or a billion, because it just seems like, wow, can you imagine missing the chance to win all that money? Do you think that's part of the factor too?
I do. And I think it's one of the reasons why people, in a sense, there's something called expected value. And when it gets really big, even though the odds aren't good, it's called the expected value of what you could win goes up. And I think that even if you don't know the math of that, I think we have this internal sense of that. And there's a certain number where you're okay with, well, I may lose, you know, if you buy several tickets, I may lose $10, but good grief, who cares? I could win $2 billion. Like my wife has recently said, well, wait a minute, if it's getting to the $2 billion mark, maybe we should rethink this. And I'm open either way in terms of where we do it, but I don't even really know where you get a ticket, because I just look up the math on it. So that's being a little too doctorish for me.
I hear you. It's funny you mentioned your wife and the tipping point being that $2 billion mark. And it wasn't the tipping point when it was, you know, just 30 million or 500 million.
As if that's just a drop in the bucket.
As Powerball gets more and more popular with these later rounds and the sum of money increasing, that does increase the chances that we will ultimately see a split, or could see a split, when it comes to the payout, right?
Yes, because more people will continue to play. Like the fact that my family begins to think about it, is that as it gets bigger, one of the big reasons that you, one, see a winner and can see the prize split is because more people are playing.
Absolutely. I know the special part about Powerball also is that Powerball that they have, that last number. Does that follow the same rules when picking a number? Would you still say you're better to just go with a random Powerball number?
Yeah, sometimes I've heard people say, like, well, you know, like last week, the last number was, the Powerball was 23. And it's just like flipping a coin, is that the coin doesn't remember. It's not like when you flip heads and heads, it's like, ooh, the coin might not want to be heads again. That can sound almost silly. But at the same time, it's the same thing with Powerball. The fact that it was a 23 doesn't play into the balls bouncing around and when that Powerball comes out and what it'll be for us. One quick thing with the math on that that's kind of interesting is that you have a 1 in 11 million chance of getting those five numbers, and that Powerball is what jumps it up to being one in 292 million. So that's what's called combinatorics. And it's just mind-boggling how fast those things grow, which is partially why we don't always have a lot of intuition on it, because those are just big numbers to wrap your head around.
I was about to say, to just by adding another ball, by adding another number to the mix, you're just making the odds even crazier that someone will ultimately match every single one.
Yeah, and that's part of the careful design of it, so that it happens enough so people want to play, but it happens infrequently enough that it gets big and exciting.
Tim, I know we've talked a lot about just odds of winning it. Have you done any analysis or looking at the lump sum payout versus taking incremental payouts? Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, the thing is when it's such a gigantic amount of money, either way, I just can't wrap my head around how much money it is. So I think you get little less than half if you don't do it over the 29 years. So if you do it over, I believe it's 29 years, but whatever the timeline is, then you get the full amount. And the other way, you get a lump sum, but it's a little less than half that you would get. $2 billion, I'll be completely honest, like, whatever we decided to do would be entirely fine with me. It doesn't really matter.
I was about to say, again, it almost comes back to the point where it's like, even the lump sum amount up front is so high to the point where it's like, does it really make that much of a difference?
I can't imagine getting that annually. Like, when you look at the annual amount, it's like, I can't even think what, we'd have to like disconnect the phone. Stop social media. It would just be unbelievable.
It really, really is crazy, but it is a lot of fun. Tim, anything else you'd like to add about the odds or the lottery in general or Powerball and how people play?
My biggest thing is enjoy playing. And if you ever think you don't like math, if you're playing the lottery, you really are playing a game based on math. So it can be a place where you and your family and friends can enjoy, sometimes hoping that you can defy the odds. And I think that's part of why we have fun with it.
Absolutely. Tim Chartier, professor at Davidson College. I appreciate it, Tim.
You're welcome. Thank you.
WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bowl. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios in Uptown Charlotte.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.